Throughout our Easter sermon series, we are making our way through the book of Acts. And today, Acts will introduce us to one of the most well-known figures of the Bible, the Apostle Paul. Paul played a huge role in the growth of the early church. He traveled extensively throughout the Roman Empire and established new churches along the way. His letters make up a significant portion of the New Testament. He had a profound impact on the spread of the gospel. But today we discover that his role as a church leader is something of a surprise. Because today we meet Paul when he was still known by his Hebrew name, Saul. And we discover that he didn't start out as a strong proponent of the gospel. When we meet him, he is a violent persecutor of the church. But then Saul is struck blind, and he hears the voice of the Lord. For 3 days, Saul is without sight until the Lord enlists a faithful disciple named Ananias to lay hands on him and heal him. Ananias is afraid. He's afraid that approaching Saul and admitting he's a Christian is equivalent to a death sentence. Ananias knows of Saul's past. But God tells him that Saul will play an important role in bringing the gospel not only to Jews, but also to Gentiles. So Ananias does what the Lord asks of him. He visits Saul and restores his sight, and Ananias and Saul both see how God can work in the world in the most surprising ways through the most unlikely people. So let's listen now for the word of God in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 20. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus called Saul. At this moment, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days, he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. As you can see, Ananias and Saul were natural enemies. Ananias was a faithful follower of Jesus, and Saul was a fervent persecutor of the faithful followers of Jesus. Saul had stood guard over the execution of Stephen, the first Christian martyr, and one of Ananias's brothers in faith. Saul not only approved of Stephen's death, but also led a violent persecution of the early Christian community. According to Acts, Saul was ravaging the church by entering house after house. Dragging off both men and women, he committed them to prison. So when God appears to Ananias and tells him to go to Saul and lay hands on him in healing prayer, it is no surprise that Ananias is hesitant. I love the strategy Ananias uses in his response to the Lord. He doesn't come right out and say, "You must be out of your mind. There is no way I am doing this." He takes a gentler approach. He just wants to make sure God is fully in the loop about who Saul is, right? So he says, "Lord, maybe you haven't heard, but I think this Saul you're talking about is the same guy who's been like persecuting a whole bunch of Christians. Are you sure I'm supposed to help him? Maybe you've got the wrong guy." But God insists and assures Ananias that he has a plan for Saul. Saul is going to become an instrument chosen to bring the Lord's name to Gentiles and to kings and to the people of Israel. God certainly is full of surprises. That is the theme of our Easter sermon series. That's what we are going to discover over and over again as we make our way through the book of Acts. We're going to see again and again how God was at work in the early church in surprising and wondrous ways. Last week, God surprised us with Peter. Peter, who denied even knowing Jesus when Jesus was arrested and brought to trial in his last days, that same Peter ended up preaching about Jesus right in the middle of the temple. He wasn't hiding in the shadows anymore. He was boldly proclaiming his faith, refusing to be silent about the good news of the resurrection. God was able to take Peter's fearful denial and turn him into a faithful disciple. Our God is full of surprises. And today God is surprising us with Saul. Saul, who is an avid persecutor of the church, that same Saul will become Paul, an apostle whose witness will forever impact the spread of the gospel and change the course of Christian history. But before God surprises us with Saul, God surprised Ananias by calling him to care for Saul and help him heal. Ananias literally opened Saul's eyes and helped him see again. And Ananias and Saul both got to see how God can work in the most surprising ways through the most unlikely people. And that is part of what makes church so beautiful and so challenging. That God can work in the most surprising ways through the most unlikely people. It is in church that God calls us to be in community with people we might be unlikely to choose as friends. It is in church that God calls us to trust all sorts of people, people who might be very different from us. That's one of the things that stands out for me in today's scripture reading. Not only the ways in which Ananias and Saul trust God, but the ways in which they have to trust each other. Both of these men are vulnerable. Saul is vulnerable because he is blind. He suddenly and literally cannot see anymore. He has to trust the men traveling with him to lead him by the hand into Damascus. And then Saul has to trust Ananias. He has to trust a stranger to come and heal him and make him whole. And Ananias is vulnerable too, because he has to trust that this man who has been harassing people like him will respond to him not with persecution, but with peace. Over and over again throughout the book of Acts, we see the beauty and the challenge of being church. And that is one of the things I love about Acts. Acts doesn't pretend that being church is easy. Being in community can sometimes be really messy and really hard. But what Acts does over and over again is remind us that God shows up in surprising and wondrous ways, even when things are really messy and really hard. When we officially appointed the Open and Affirming Task Force back in December of 2020, I heard from many of you that you felt it was a long time coming. Many of you weren't surprised at all that we would want to build on the decision made years ago now, the decision to welcome same-sex couples to celebrate their marriages here in the sanctuary of Old South Union Church. Many of you weren't surprised that we would want to extend that welcome into a public affirmation of people who identify as part of the LGBTQ community. But not everyone was on board with us starting the open and affirming process. Some of you are hesitant because of what the Bible seems to say about same-sex relationships. We're actually going to have the opportunity to talk more about that with a two-part Bible study series in June. So stay tuned for more information about that. Others of you have been hesitant, though, not because you question whether we should affirm the LGBTQ community. You're clear about your support, but you're also worried that this process might get messy. The conversations might be hard. And maybe it would be easier if we just didn't talk about it. I was struck by a couple of things during the open and affirming roundtable conversations we had online back in February. One of those things was the vulnerability that was shared both by members of the ONA task force and by people who showed up at the roundtables. Members of the task force were open and honest about their sexual identities in ways some of them never had been publicly before. That is a vulnerable thing. And there were people who came to the roundtable and said, "I don't understand why we need to do this. Why do we need to officially become open and affirming when we are already a welcoming place?" And it's a vulnerable thing to say that out loud. But along with vulnerability, there was also deep trust in those conversations. It was that trust that led a number of people to say, "I might not understand why this is important, but I am friends with people on the ONA task force, and they have told me this is important to them. And that's why I'm here." Sometimes being church can be really messy and really hard. But our faith tells us that God shows up in surprising and wondrous ways, even when things are really messy and really hard. God shows up when we're willing to be vulnerable and trust one another. So part of the beauty and the challenge of being church is trusting God, of course. Trusting that God can bring majesty out of messiness. Trusting that God can take what is hard and make it holy. But we also need to trust each other. We need to trust that God can do surprising and wondrous things through broken and beautiful people who gather together in community. Broken and beautiful people like us. Being church might not always be easy. That is why we need each other. That is why we need our God. And what a blessing it is that we have a place, this place, where we get to find both. Amen. And friends, we bring all of our beauty and all of our brokenness, and we come with joy to the table of the Lord. So we will sing our way into communion. If you're worshiping with us at home, this is a great time to make sure you have something to eat.